لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد Then to continue with Shah Sunnah of Imam Al-Barbahari, Rahimahullah, the explanation of Shah Al-Fawdan, Rahimahullah. The last time we had point number 14. Because on the two volume Saudi edition, in the first volume on page 149. So we had the point of Ar-Ru'ya. The point of creed and belief of the people of the Sunnah, that the believers will see their Lord on the day of resurrection, or Ru'ya. So Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that this point of belief is established in the Book of Allah, and it is established in Ahadith that are mutawatir, reported by a huge number of people at every level of transmission, so many that they could not have gathered together to invent something false. So this is something, an established point of aqidah, creed and belief, which the people of Sunnah do not differ about. Those who disagree are the Mu'tazila, the deviant sect of the Mu'tazila, and their like of them. Those people who are not content with just submitting to the text, the authentic text, but rather they bring their faulty intellects into the matter and go astray in doing so. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said the ones who disagree are the Mu'tazila and their like. However, this is a point which not only is mentioned in the authentic mutawatir ahadith, it's also something which occurs in the Quran. So amongst the evidences that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned were the ayah from Surah Yunus, the 10th surah, ayah 26. Well, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً The explanation, for those who did good in this world, there will be the best reward of Jannah, of Paradise. And there will be a ziyadah, an increase, something in addition for them. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that occurs in the authentic hadith reported by Muslims that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself explained what is the ziyadah, what is the extra increase for them, that it is another ila wajhillah, looking at the face of Allah. That occurs in that ayah with the authentic explanation of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned the ayah from Surah Qaf, the 50th surah, ayah 35. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. The ayah with the explanation, and in the context again of the people of paradise, the believers, that they will have whatever they wish for in paradise, and with us there is something extra. Again, in the correct explanation, that means looking upon the face of Allah. Likewise, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned a third evidence from the Qur'an, Surah Al-Qiyamah, the 75th Surah, ayahs 22-23. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. The ayah with the explanation that some faces on that day will be beaming, shining, looking at their Lord. And he mentioned a fourth evidence as well, the ayah from Surah Al-Mutaffifin, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. The ayah in the context of the disbelievers, he mentioned the punishment of the disbelievers, the explanation, but no, they, the disbelievers, on that day will be screened away, blocked away from seeing their Lord. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned this ayah is in the context of it being a punishment for the disbelievers. So that is a proof that the believers who will not receive that punishment will not be blocked and screened from seeing their Lord. As for the doubts of the Mu'tazila, some of their doubts, and if we remember, Shaykh Falah Ismail, Hafidhullah, when he came in his explanation of Al-Wasitiyah, he mentioned this point, mentioned many of their doubts in the rebuttal of them. As for what we had here, then Shaykh Fawzan mentioned the first doubt they bring is the ayah with regard to Musa alayhi salam, when he made a request of Allah the Most High to see Allah, and then the response he was given, Allah the Most High said to him, "Lan tarani," you will not see me. So the Mu'tazila use this ayah, "Lan tarani," you will not see me, and the Mu'tazila say, and they claim, this "lan," it negates something in the future ever happening. So it means something that will never happen in the future. You will never, ever see me. Shaykh Fawzan, he rebutted this argument of theirs and said in the Arabic language, as is clear from the Arabic language dictionaries and books of explanation, such as Al-Kafiyat al-Shafiyah of Ibn Malik, of his book, and the scholars of the Arabic language make it clear that "lan" doesn't mean forever. This is a false claim. This is not correct in Arabic language, that "lan" means never, ever. Rather, it has a time limit. So this will not happen for a certain time. He mentioned there's evidence for that. Another ayah. The ayah with regard to the Jews, Surah Al Baqarah, ayah 94-95, part of it being the ayah, وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوْهُ أَبَدًا. So again, this word "lan" occurs in the ayah. That they, the Jews, لَنْ يَتَمَنَّوْهُ أَبَدًا, they will never wish for death. So Shaykh Fawzan said the correct explanation of this does not mean they will never, ever, whatsoever wish for death, because we find in another ayah, Surah Az-Zukhruf, the 43rd surah, ayah 77, where it's mentioned about the people of the fire that they will say, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْفِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. That what the people in the fire will say, they will call, with the explanation, and they will call, "O Malik," they will call to the angel, who is the custodian of the hellfire, they will call, "O Malik, let our Lord put an end to us, and let our Lord give us death and finish us off, so that we can be relieved from the punishment." So proving that the first ayah doesn't mean they will never ever wish for death, rather in this life. In this life they will not wish for death. And that is the same, as Shaykh Fawzan said, same with the ayah about Musa alayhi salam. "Lan tarani," you will not see me, meaning Musa alayhi salam made that request in this life to see Allah. So, "Lan tarani," you will not see me, meaning you will not see me in this life. But it's not a negation of seeing Allah in the next life. This ayah should not be used to clash with the other three clear ayahs in that regard, three or four. Another doubt that they bring, the Mu'tazila, is the ayah from Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 103, "لا تدركه الأبصار." The ayah with the explanation, sight will not encompass him. Sight cannot encompass him. Allah the Most High cannot be encompassed by sight. So again, the Mu'tazila, they say that means that Allah cannot be seen. So they do not believe that Allah will be seen in the hereafter. Okay, because this ayah proves that Allah cannot be seen. Shaykh Fawzan, in his explanation, he explains that this is not the case. All that's negated in the ayah is idraq, encompassing Allah with vision. And there's a difference between seeing something and between totally encompassing it with your vision. So the ayah negates that Allah will be encompassed, totally encompassed. But it does not negate that he'll be seen. So that is something that's affirmed in the ayah. So Shaykh Fawzan makes it very clear that the way of the people of the Sunnah is not to take one ayah and use it to try and rebut the meaning that is clear from another ayah. Rather, we take all the texts together. So no doubt, the people of the Sunnah believe that Allah will be seen in the hereafter by the believers. And as Imam al-Barbahari put it at the end, they will see Allah, mighty and majestic, with the eyes of their heads. With the eyes of their heads, Sheikh Fawzan said he used this phrase with the eyes of their heads to negate any ta'wil, to negate anyone coming along and saying, yeah, it might mean seeing with their hearts. So Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, to make it very clear, and no way to twist his words, said with the eyes of their heads, and they will literally see Allah, the believers will literally see Allah, with the eyes of their heads on the day of resurrection. Then to continue on what occurs on page 156, point number 15, the author, rahimahullah, said, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْمِيزَانِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُوزَنُ فِيهِ الْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرُ لَهُ كِفَّتَانِ وَلَهُ لِسَانِ. He said, and to have Iman in the balance of Mizan on the day of resurrection. Upon it, good and evil will be weighed. It has two scales, two balance plates, and a pointer. It has two scales, two balance plates, and a pointer. And in the previously translated the book, I translated it as literally with the Arabic there, Lisan. And should the correction there is it should have been translated as pointer. It has a pointer. So wherever I bring something here that's different to the earlier English translation, this will be a correction of what came out of it. Sheikh Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, from the issues of aqidah, creed and belief, is having iman in the mizan, in the balance, with which the deeds of the servants will be weighed on the day of resurrection. Then Sheikh Fawzan begins to mention the evidences for this from the Quran. He says, He the Most High said, وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقِّ فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَظْلِمُونَ. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayat 8 to 9. With the explanation, and the weighing on that day, the day of resurrection, and the weighing on that day will be true. So whoever's scale of good deeds is heavier, then they will be the successful ones. And whoever's scale of good deeds is lighter, then they are the ones who will have lost their own selves on account of their rejecting our signs. Then Sheikh Fawzan quotes the second ayah. He said, and in the other ayah, خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 23rd Surah, Ayah 103. And there's another similar ayah, but here the ending is different. خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. With the explanation, they will lose their own selves, remaining forever in the hellfire. Sheikh Fawzan said, if the scale of good deeds, the mizan of hasanat, if the scale of good deeds is heavier, then the servant will be blissful and successful. But if the opposite is the case, and the evil deeds are heavier, the servant will be destroyed. And he quotes the ayahs, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. Surah Al-Qari'ah, 101st Surah, Ayah 6 to 11. With the explanation, so whoever's scale of good deeds is heavy, then he will live a pleasant life in paradise. And whoever's scale of good deeds is lighter, then he will have his abode in the pit of hell. And what will explain to you what is the pit of hell it is a blazing hot fire. Shaykh Fawzan said, and this is from the justice of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, that He will weigh the good deeds and the bad deeds with a balance which they will see. And that the people, this is something the people will not be able to deny, they will actually see justice with their eyes. They will see that Allah doesn't just judge between them, He shows them the balance, weighing between good deeds and bad deeds. They'll see it with their eyes. A mizan mahsus, a physical balance, which has two scales, two balance plates, and it has a pointer. There's a pointer which points which way, which is heavier, which side is heavier. The good deeds will be placed on one balance plate, and the evil deeds will be placed on one balance plate, as is indicated in the book and the sunnah. Contrary to the Mu'tazila. Again, the Mu'tazila disagree. Contrary to the Mu'tazila, those who say what is meant by scales, al-mawazin, and the balance, al-mizan, what is meant by it is the establishment of justice. But there is actually no physical scale, no physical balance there. That's what they say. They say it's just metaphorical. It just means that justice will be established. There won't actually be a balance there. The Sheikh said, this is based upon their false and futile position. Because they rely upon their intellect, and they do not place reliance upon the text. Sheikh said, so the balance, the mizan, is haqiqi, is something real. It will have two balance plates, as occurs in the authentic ahadith. In a footnote here, they mention that some of them will mention some of these ahadith, will follow, and they say Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari mentioned in his book Maqalat al-Islamiyyin. He brings this quote here from Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, that he said, the people of the truth said, speaking about the mizan, the balance, people of the truth said, it has a pointer and two balance plates. On one of the scales, good deeds will be weighed, and on the other, the evil deeds. Whereas the people of innovation, they negate the balance. And they say, scales does not mean, literally, does not mean scales on pointers, but rather it is metaphorical, just meaning that Allah will recompense them for their deeds, measure for measure. He said, and they denied the balance. End of the quote from Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari. Back to the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, he said, moving on with the next part of the phrase of the author, rahimahullah, he said, he's saying, يُوزَنُ فِيهِ الْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرْفِ, that good and evil will be weighed upon it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning al-hasanat wa-sayyi'at, good deeds and evil deeds. And he said, he's saying, لَهُ كِفَّتَانِ وَلَهُ لِسَانِ, it will have two scales and a pointer. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, it will have two scales, two balance plates, as occurs in the ahadith. The good deeds will be placed on one scale, and the evil deeds on one scale, as occurs in the hadith al-Bitaqa, the hadith of the parchment. This is a famous hadith referred to as hadith al-Bitaqa, the hadith of the parchment, the little card of parchment. So it says, as occurs in the hadith of the parchment. And then he mentions, Shaykh al-Fawzan, he summarizes a long hadith, and it comes in the footnote afterwards. He summarizes it here. He said, as occurs in the hadith of the parchment, with regard to the story of the person who will have 99 scrolls. On the day of resurrection, there will be a man who will come in front of the, brought in front of the people. He will have 99 scrolls of his deeds. Every scroll from them will stretch as far as the eye can see, and will be filled with evil deeds. So it will be said to him, "Do you have any good deed?" So he will say, "La, ya Rab." No, O my Lord. So he will see the tremendous size of these large scrolls, and he will say, "La, ya Rab. No, O my Lord." So it will be said, "Bala, innaka la tuzlamu indana laka hasana." He said, "Rather, you will not be wronged. A single good deed with us. Or you have a good deed with us, one good deed with us." So a parchment will be brought containing the testification that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and a testification that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And this will be brought in his favour. Just one parchment will be brought in his favour. Testification, La ilaha illallah. And testification, Muhammadun Rasulullah. That he made that testification in the world. And it will be placed on one scale. And the scrolls will be placed on the other scale. And the parchment will outweigh. The parchment will be heavier. I mean, the one with the shahada upon it will outweigh the rest. And the scrolls will be lighter. So he will enter into paradise. In a footnote they mention here, with regard to this hadith, that this hadith is a hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuna, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "A man from my nation will be called out in front of the whole of the creation on the day of resurrection. So 99 scrolls will be laid out for him. Each of the scrolls will be as far as the eye can see. Then it will be said, 'Do you deny anything from this?' So he will say, 'No, O my Lord.' So it will be said, 'Do you have any excuse or any good deed?' So the man will fear and he will say, 'No.' So it will be said, 'Yes indeed, you have good deeds with us. You will not be wronged with regard to them.' So a parchment will be brought out for him, more parchment will be brought out for him, containing, 'I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger.' So he will say, 'O my Lord, what is this parchment in comparison to those scrolls?' So it will be said, 'You will not be wronged.' So the scrolls will be placed on one balance, on one scale, and the parchment will be placed on one scale. So the scrolls will be lighter and the parchment will outweigh. Reported by Ibn al-Mubarak in his book Az-Zuhd and in his Musnad, and by Imam Ahmad and by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and others besides. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, he declared this hadith sahih, authentic. As a side point here, in addition to this, with regard to this hadith, Shaykh Salih al-Sahimi hafidhahullah, he mentioned some points of benefit with regard to this hadith. So I mention them here. This famous hadith, Shaykh Salih al-Sahimi, in his explanation, he mentioned some points of benefit of this hadith. He mentioned the hadith in the explanation, and he mentioned the points of benefit. He said, "The hadith contains a number of points of benefit." And there he goes on, and he mentions five points of benefit. Firstly, the first benefit is that the people of sins will be beneath al-Mashi'ah. Will be beneath Allah's wish and will, His Mashi'ah. If Allah wishes, He will forgive them by His favour. And if He wishes, He will punish them by His justice. The second point of benefit is that whoever is such that his iman is strong, and his tawheed, his iman, true belief, and his tawheed is strong, and his attachment to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Then this person, or this fact, the fact that his iman is strong and his tawheed is strong, this may be a means for wiping away all of his evil deeds. And there is no clearer proof for this than the fact that this small parchment will outweigh and overcome all the rest of the parchment, all the rest of the scroll. The third point of benefit, he said, is that the person who is a murtakib al-kabira, a person guilty of major sin, he does not become a disbeliever, as the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila claim. Rather, he is beneath the Mashi'atullah. He's beneath the wish and will of Allah. So even if he is punished, then still he will not remain forever in the fire. Then he mentions the fourth point of benefit, which is the tremendousness, or the tremendous virtue of La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, over the rest of deeds. So when a Muslim says it, knowing its meaning and acting in accordance with it, then that is the case. It's tremendous. The fifth point of benefit, he said, is establishment of the mizan, the balance of deeds, with which the deeds will be weighed on the day of resurrection, and that it is a balance which is true, haqiqah, and true and real. It will be erected on the open plain of the resurrection, before the passing over the bridge, before the passing over the sirat. This is the most correct of the sayings which the people of knowledge mention. And back to the explanation of Sheikh al-Fawzan, I mentioned the hadith of the Bithaqa, we just had the footnote with regard to hadith of the parchment. Then Sheikh al-Fawzan continues, this is a proof that there will be two scales, two balance plates for this balance, upon which the deeds will be placed on the day of resurrection. And he mentions, moves on to the final statement of the author here, وَلَهُ لِسَانٌ, and it has a pointer. Shabbazan said, لِسَانُ الْمِزَانِ, the lisan of the balance, the pointer of the balance, is well known with the people. They call it قلب الميزان, they call it the heart of the balance, that which leans to the right or to the left. And if the two balance plates are equal, then the heart of the balance will be level. And this pointer in the middle, if they're both equal, the pointer will be level, straight up. And if one scale outweighs, then the pointer will point towards it. Just very briefly, that's where Sheikh al-Fawzan ends explanation at this point, just very, very briefly. Then Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahmahullah, he said in explanation of this point, وَلَهُ لِسَانٌ, and it has a pointer, he said, as for the lisan, the pointer, then it is a shoka, a spike or a point, through which it is known which way the balance leans, which way it inclines, to which side it points. Whichever way is heavier, the point on top of it, that will point which way is heavier. And with regard to the next point, point number 16, that the author, rahimahullah, he said, والإيمان بعذاب القبر ومنكر ونكير. There's a new point here after the point about the balance and mizan. There's a new point. And to have iman in the punishment of the grave, and in munkar and nakir. Sheikh Razan said the explanation. Likewise, from the aqeedah, the creed and belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, is to have iman in the punishment of the grave, azab al-qadr, and in na'im al-qadr, and in the bliss of the grave. So the deceased will either be punished in his grave, or he will experience bliss, enjoyment, bliss in his grave, until he is raised up on the day of resurrection. And the qabr, the grave, is a station between this world and the hereafter, and therefore it is called al-barzakh, which is the barrier or the interval. The grave is called the barzakh, barrier or interval, because barzakh means a barrier between two things. Then he gives an ayah from the Quran of this meaning. He said, he the Most High said, مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان. Surah Al-Rahman, 55th Surah, Ayahs 19-20. With explanation, he, Allah, has released the two seas. And it explained as mentioned, meaning the salt water and the fresh water. The ocean, the salty ocean, and the fresh water of the great rivers. He has released the two seas which meet side by side. Between them there is a barzakh, there is a barrier which neither of them transgress. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, showing this word barzakh, it means a barrier. He said, meaning the salt water does not transgress upon the fresh water, and the fresh water does not transgress upon the salty, because Allah has placed a separation between them. So this does not mix with this. So therefore, al-barzakh, the barzakh, it means a separation between two things. So likewise, with regard to the life in the grave, it's called the barzakh, because it's like a separation period. It's an interval, a barrier, in between this life and the next life. It's a barrier between. Then he said, because the abodes, the place where people will live, the abodes are three. Darul Dunya, the abode of this world, wa Darul Barzakh, and the abode of the interval period, and Darul Qarar, the abode of remaining in the hereafter. These are the abodes which the servants will pass through. The abode of this world, which is a place for action, and the place of al-barzakh, the abode of the barzakh, the interval period, which is the place for waiting, and darul qarar, the place of remaining forever, which will be the place of recompense, because Allah the Majestic and Most High says, hatta zurtum al-maqabir, Surah Al-Takathur, ayah 102, Surah 102, second ayah. حتى زرتم المقابر. I was about to death. It is mentioned until you die. Literally, حتى زرتم المقابر. The explanation: until you enter and visit the graves. So death is mentioned here as being ziyar, as being a visit. Shaykh al-Fawzan, he said, so this shows that the graves are not a place of permanent residence. This just reminds me of a side point. Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, used to criticize people when they said about someone, like the disbelievers say, and sometimes Muslims take it on as well, that when they say about somebody has died, they say he's gone to his final resting place. And they take his coffin along, they put him in the ground, and they say he's gone on to his final resting place. So Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, criticizes that this is not the final resting place. This is a wrong belief, a wrong statement, and a wrong belief. This is not his final resting place. Of course, after that, after the grave, there is either paradise and the hellfire. That is the final place, not the grave. So just back to what Shaykh Fawzan said. He said, quoting the ayah, careful, he said, so this shows that the grave, hatta zurtum al-maqabir, until you enter and visit the grave, I mean until you die, you enter and visit, as a visitor, the grave. So this shows that the graves are not a place of permanent residence. Rather, a person who is in them is just like a zair, is just like a visitor. who visits, and then he travels on. So he made the time spent in the graves a visit, because he remains in them, and then he travels on. And so that's why in the ayah, the person, when he dies and goes into the grave, it describes it as awesome. You visit the graves, you're there just as a visitor. Then Shaykh Razan says, however, during the time when he is within the grave, when he is first placed in the grave, and the soil is levelled over him, and the people depart from him, وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَسْمَعُمْ قَرْعَنِ آلِهِمْ, then as occurs in the hadith, when the people depart from him, he will certainly hear the deceased in his grave. He will certainly hear the striking of their shoes. And those who are departing, going away from him, he will certainly hear the striking of their shoes. In a footnote, they mention the hadith occurs in Al-Bukhari as hadith 1273, and reported by Muslim as hadith 2870, as a hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu. So when this happens, the person is put in his grave, and the people depart from him. Shaykh Fawzan said, then two angels will come to him in the grave, and they will make him sit up, and his soul will be restored to his body, and he will be given life, a life of barzakhiyah, a life of this interval period. And it is not like the life which is in this world. So they will ask him, these two angels who come to him, they will ask, Man Rabbuk, Wa Ma Deenuk, Wa Man Nabiyuk. They will ask him, who is your Lord? And what is your religion? And who is your Prophet? So if he gives a correct answer to these questions, then he is saved, and he will be blissful, and he will suffer no wretchedness after it, and his grave will be extended for as far as the eye can see for him, and a door will be opened for him to paradise. So its beautiful breeze and its fragrance will come to him, and command will be given for him to be given bedding from paradise. In a footnote they mention all of this occurs, and what follows as well, to regard to the opposite type of person, so all this occurs in the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Tayalisi and Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim and others. And this hadith was declared sahih, authentic, by Shaykh Al-Ban in his checking of Abu Dawood and elsewhere. It's a long hadith about what happens to a person when he's put in his grave. The believer, first of all, the believer, and then secondly, the hypocrite or the doubter. Shaykh Fawzan continued and said, so he will continue to be experiencing delight in his grave. And this is a matter of the ghaib, a matter of the hidden and the unseen. We do not know about it. So if we were to open up a grave, we would not find anything from that, since it occurs in one world and we are in a different world. And the point that Shaykh Fawzan is making, that contrary to what the like of the Mu'tazila say, who deny it, they say if you open up a grave you don't see anybody experiencing bliss. No matter how many graves you open up, you don't see anyone whose grave is as far as I can see is enjoying bliss. Shaykh Fawzan says this, we don't, of course we don't see this. We're in one world, he's in a different world. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, as for the hypocrite and the doubter, then he will say, then he will, when he's asked, when it is said to him, who is your Lord? He will say, I do not know. Who is your Prophet? He will say, I do not know. What is your religion? He will say, I do not know. Even if in this world he was a learned person, and he memorized texts and explanations, and he memorized the language, and he was a most eloquent speaker and a fine talker, but if he did not have Iman, true faith, then he will stammer in the grave and he will be unable to answer. When he is asked about these matters, he will stutter and say, I do not know. I heard the people saying something, so therefore I said it. So, and this is the Shaykh quoting the hadith here, فيفتح له باب إلى النار ويضيق عليه قبره حتى تختلف أضلاؤه ويأتيه من سمومها وحررها ويفرش له فراش من النار. So a door will be opened to the fire for him, and his grave will be made tight upon him until his ribs intertwine, ribs cross over. And its fierce wind and heat come upon him, and bedding from the fire will be laid out for him. Yes, what, as I mentioned, it's part of the same hadith of Al-Bara' ibn Azib. Shaykh Fawzan says, so the punishment of the grave or its bliss is established in the book and in the sunnah. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعِهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعٍ مِنْ عَذَابِ جَهَنَّمْ وَمِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبَرِ وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَا وَالْمَمَاتِ وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seek refuge with Allah from four things: from the punishment of hellfire, and from the punishment of the grave, and from the trials of life and death, and from the trial of al-Masih al-Dajjal, the false Messiah, the Dajjal. In a footnote, they mentioned this hadith occurs in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari as hadith 1311, and in Sahih Muslim, hadith 588, from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Shaykh said, so he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to seek refuge from the punishment of the grave. And this, they mentioned the footnote again, this occurs in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, hadith 1002, and in the Sahih of Muslim, hadith 584. Hadha hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and there is an indication, or that, you know, he said, there are indications in the Quran of the punishment of the grave. There's ayahs with regard to punishment of the grave, which you might notice to begin with. There are indications in these ayahs towards the punishment of the grave. He said, He the Most High said, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ. So to Sajda, the 32nd Surah, Ayah 21. With explanation, and we will make them taste of the lesser punishment. We will make them taste the lesser punishment before the greater punishment. Shaykh Fawzan said, they said, me of the people of Tafsir, people like the scholars of explanation, he said, they said, this is the punishment of the grave. Or it is said, it is the punishment of this world. In people's explanation, they differ what he meant by the lesser punishment here. Some of them say it means the punishment of the grave. Some of them say it means the punishment of this world. Then he quotes the second ayah. He said, and in his saying, he the Most High with regard to Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, and his people. And النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. So Al-Ghafir, 40th Surah, ayah 46, for the explanation about the people of Fir'aun after they've died. That they will be exposed to the fire. They are exposed to the fire morning and evening. And on the day when the hour is established, it will be said, enter the people of Fir'aun into the severest torment. Shaykh Fawzan said, they are presented to it, or they are exposed to it morning and evening. This is in the grave. After they died, they began being exposed to the fire morning and evening. And when the hour is established, when the resurrection is established, it will be said, أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. Then it will be said, part of the eye with the explanation, enter the people of Fir'aun into the severest torment. And he quotes a third ayah with regard to the punishment of the grave. Shaykh Fawzan said, and he the Most High said, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Surah Taha, 20th Surah, Ayah 124. With the explanation, and whoever turns away from remembrance of me, then he will have a tight and restricted life, and we will raise him up on the day of resurrection blind. Sheikh Bardan said, they said, obviously again referring to scholars, people of explanation of the Quran, he said, they said, Ma'ishat Amdamka, a tight and restricted life, referred to in the grave, and Allah's refuge is sought. In a footnote here they mention, Ibn Kathir said in his tafsir, that it is established that Ma'ishat Amdamka, a tight and restricted life, is established, that it is explained to mean punishment of the grave. This is established from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhuma. It's established from those two companions. They explain this ayah to mean punishment of the grave. As a side point, in addition to that, Ibn Hibban in his Sahih number 3109, he brings a hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he himself explained this ayah. He explained the same, he the Majestic and Most High, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَمْكَ, that there will be a tight and restricted life for him. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَذَابُ الْقَبْرِ, the punishment of the grave. It means the punishment of the grave. Shaykh al-Albani said with regard to this report, Hassan, it is good. Good report. Then Shaykh al-Albani said, the last paragraph in two paragraphs, he said, so the evidences proving the punishment of the grave are mutawatirah, established by huge numbers, definitely confirmed, established reports which are mutawatir, reported by huge numbers of people at every level of transmission. So whoever disbelieves in the punishment of the grave from the Mu'tazila and those who adopt their way, then he is contradicting mutawatir evidences. They're even contradicting their own principle. The Mu'tazila say, we'll only accept a text if it's mutawatir. Well, these texts are mutawatir and they're still not accepted. So said, then whoever denies the punishment of the grave from the Mu'tazila and those who adopt their way, then he's contradicting the mutawatir evidences. And he will have his belief damaged. And Allah's refuge is sought. And he will be missing out on one of the fundamentals, from the fundamentals of creed, of aqidah, creed and belief. And it is belief in the punishment of the grave. So if he is doing so muta'ammidan, willfully, knowingly, knowing of the texts, he just does so out of pride and haughtiness, and he denies, then he is a kafir, he is a disbeliever. But as for if he is doing it muta'awwilan, using a false and wrong, using a wrong interpretation, or doing it muqallidan, blind following someone, or jahilan, who is ignorant, then this person is not declared to be a disbeliever. Rather, he is declared to be astray, but not to be a disbeliever. A brief point here, Sheikh Faleh al-Sahimi, hafizahullah, he said in his explanation, the punishment of the grave is something which the people of the Sunnah are agreed upon with consensus, ijma. It is proven in the texts which are authentic from the Book and the Sunnah, and the Mu'tazila disagree about it. So they deny the punishment of the grave because they have a belief which is that paradise and the fire are not yet created. And then he, later on he said, and it is something which no one from the people of the Sunnah denies. Which is a grave, no one, not a single person from the people of the Sunnah denies it. Then the final point here, he said, he's saying, wa munkar wa nakir. He's saying, and munkar and nakir. We have iman in munkar and nakir. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, munkar and nakir are two names of angels who will come to him in a terrifying form. One of them is called Al-Munkar and the other is called Al-Nakir, as occurs in the Ahadith. And in the footnote they mention this Hadith where it's mentioned about the Munkar and Nakir. It is reported by Tirmidhi in his Sunan and Ibn Abi Asim in As-Sunnah and others, and Ibn Hibban and others, from a Hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that when the deceased person is buried in his grave, two angels come to him, or black and blue, One is called Munkar and the other is called Nakir. Hadith said Hassan, good by Sheikh al-Albani. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. And the next point is with regard to the Hawd, the great reservoir of water in the underground. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Whenever it talks about the usual,
yeah,
whenever it talks about usual,